my Bible. I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith coming by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing
by
the word of God.
All right. All right.
So everyone that's on the podcast, we have people listening all over the country. So first of all, good morning to you. And Lady LaConte and I are teaching together on relationships. And so for those listening on the podcast, if you hear that pastor's voice is hoarse, he is not sick in any way. He has been at his son's basketball tournament. The place was jam-packed, and he was the loudest person in the place. Amen?
Right.
All right, so now they know, so they won't have to wonder. Amen? Right. Well, we are in a series on relationships, and Lady LaConte started last week and did a phenomenal job, on her lesson. She sent it to me. She started talking about healthy relationships. And the Bible ranks healthy relationships as one of the most important things in life, all right? So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up and piggyback from Lady LaConte's lesson on last week, continuing that. And then next Sunday, when we continue in our series on relationships, we're going to move into specifically marriages and those kind of things. So the first two lessons are going to be relationships, just period, how to handle relationships. You got it? And then the next couple that Lady LaConte and I teach together will be specifically for marriage. So if you were coming today looking for it, you need this. And then next week we'll pick up in that. Amen? All right. So Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 36th verse. And we're going to see how the Bible ranks healthy relationships as one of the most important things in life. So let's do Matthew 22 and 36.
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
So we see it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It's what we teach our kids to do. Yeah. Right? But it's what we need to do.
Right.
Right? And then he says, and the second is just like it, that you have to love your neighbor as
yourself.
Can we just stop and talk about that for a few minutes? Like, I mean, I could spend some time talking on loving your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
I mean, what are we talking about? Treating people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
And so even if I don't agree with everything that you agree with, I'm still going to love you and treat you with respect.
Right. Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
I'm not going to try to attack you.
Right.
You got it? I'm not going to go off on you on social media,
right,
you know, and those kind of things. You know, I have to love you. You know, how many know we can, even if we have differences, we can love one another?
Right. Absolutely.
And even if we have differences, we can still get along and be kind to one another.
Absolutely.
But we live in this society, in this culture, especially with social media, where people can hide behind
fake accounts
and that kind of thing and go off on people. And that's just not God's will.
Right.
You got it. He says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another."
Right.
And so, you know, when you love people that don't look like you, you got it, that didn't grow up on the side of town, you didn't grow up, that even have a different political view than you have, when that have some craziness going on in their
right,
lives and that kind of stuff, when you would just learn to love people like God loves people, you would show them what God looks like.
Right.
Does that make sense? We live in such a very, very critical society. I mean, you know, can I just be real honest? We live in a society where Christians are so critical that
right,
you don't realize you're being so critical that you can't really win people to Jesus. Does that make sense? And so I got 14 claps, but it's a lot more in the house than that. No, I mean, but, you know, I think that is something that, if anything bothers me, that's something that really bothers me, because the whole goal is to try to attract people to Christ and not repel people. And I might be the only light that someone knows.
Right.
You got it? And so I've got to be a light that shines, even if I don't agree with what that person is doing, I should still love one another.
Right.
Does that make sense? All right. So go ahead, lady. You want me to go?
No, no. Oh. A loving relationship with God is of first importance, but loving relationships with others is second.
Right.
The Bible is all about these two important relationships. So it's great that we have our vertical relationships intact.
Right.
We got to make sure that our horizontal relationships are intact, because we know, you know, that we're saved and that we have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we are treating people, like you just said, as we would treat ourselves. We wouldn't cause harm to ourselves, but we want to try to cause harm to other people. So we want to make sure that we have our horizontal relationships intact and that they are prospering. The quality of our relationships determine the quality of our lives. I said this last week, how we can have all the money in the world, all the cars in the world, but if our relationships are not intact, then we really are at a loss.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, if our relationships are intact, if we have, you know, the husband and I, we are in unison or we're in one accord, and we could be broke, it doesn't matter because this is intact. So it doesn't matter what we see in the natural, you know, with our finances, but as long as we are together and we are believing for the same things, we're going to be okay, because we know that our end is going to be better than where we are right now, because we are working together.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we've lived that life, you got it, where we didn't have much, but we had so much joy,
right,
because our relationships were intact with one another. And so it wasn't, you know, we had one car that we bought from a buy here, pay here place, had to pay it on a weekly basis because they couldn't trust you for the month. You got
right.
it. We were living in a little small house that we were renting, and I needed to the fifth of the month to pay it.
Right.
But the thing about it was, you would think, oh, that must have been miserable. No, we really had a blast, because
right.
it wasn't based on things, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Now, God does have no problem having you, wanting you to have things, but
right.
you just have to make sure that things don't define you.
Right.
So I like a nice car. Anybody besides me like a nice
right.
car? Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with any of those things. You just have to make sure it doesn't define you.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense? And so I think that is the key. You know, people hear us talk all the time about going to church's chicken, you
okay.
know, and having, was it $1.99 or $2.99, that two-piece special?
I think it was $2.99.
Okay, because sometimes I say $1.99. So it was $2.99.
Well, it was 20-some years ago, so
yeah.
it could have been $1.99.
But we had a blast.
No, we didn't.
Like,
we
would
forward to the fried chicken on Fridays.
Yeah,
I told
we
them
did.
How I had baked legs Monday through Thursday. I baked chicken legs Monday through Thursday. But on Friday, we went and got some fried chicken legs.
Yes.
No, we had a thigh and a leg on Fridays. We went up on Fridays, got a thigh. But, you know, but that's just, that was fun for us.
Yes.
You know, we couldn't afford to take nobody else with us, but we made sure that we enjoyed ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, it's what we had to do at that time. But again, we weren't fussing because
and we weren't even
we were
mad.
Going, right, we weren't.
But you know what we were? We were in faith for better.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's what you, that
right.
see, that's the thing, because faith is not frustrating. When I'm in faith, I'm in
right.
anticipation and expectation.
Right.
So the joy I have is not based on where I am, but where he's taking me. So even though things were tough and it was hard, you know, we weren't mad. We were thankful,
right.
you got it, you know, to have each other and have a good relationship. And we stayed in faith knowing that, listen, it was going to get better.
Right.
And so that was the key. So
I remember the conversations that we would have over those two-piece meals, because we realized, again, this is where we are right now, but
right.
it is not where we're going to end up, because we knew together, if we stayed in faith and keep working the principles of God, we were going to see better in our relationships. Even though we were happy,
yeah.
there were still things that we still had to dream for and believe
oh, yes.
God for, but you cannot give up, because what you see right now may not be working or where you want to be. You got to keep fighting for better.
That's it. So you got to make every effort to live in peace with everybody and learn how to just enjoy life.
Right.
All right. Colossians 3:12 teaches us, therefore, as God, watch this now, Paul's going to give us the prescription for healthy relationships. This particular scripture is going to be the backdrop for the rest of the way. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with what, class?
Compassion.
And what else?
Kindness.
And what else?
Humility.
And what else?
Gentleness.
And what else?
Patience.
Okay, so those five things, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive, watch this now, as the Lord forgave you.
Yeah.
And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And so Paul, you know, he's showing us that God's loving treatment towards us is the basis for our treatment toward each other. Does that make sense? All right.
And so, and last week I was talking about how God responds to us based on how we relate to others. So I can't be, you know, going off on you and then expecting God to bless me.
Right.
I can't be mistreating you and then, you know, asking God to bless me indeed when I can't even speak to you because, you know, you made me mad at the red light. You know what I'm saying? So we got to make sure that we keep ourselves, you know, in a place where God can, bless us. So we cannot, again, always have alts with people because it may not be the way we want it to be.
Right.
Amen? Why are you laughing at me?
No, no. I was laughing because you're right. And people get mad sometimes for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, right.
Yesterday, I am the guy, I am the dad that is going to make noise. You got it? And so I bring energy to our team, okay? The school that we're in now, the school that we came from, our new school had never beaten that team in the history of their school. I was like, I'm changing all that. You got it? So I mean, like, you know, it was a Tuesday night. We didn't have Bible study. So I asked some of my peoples, hey, y'all want to come with me to the game? And they came to the game, and we made a bunch of noise. It's the first time they probably ever had noise in that school. You understand what I'm saying?
No,
you got it? And they were kind of looking at us, you understand? But, you know, momentum has a way of shifting. You understand what I'm saying? The boys were playing good, and so we lost. So you would think, oh, that's a loss. No, we're gaining momentum. We did better than we've ever done before. So you know, then we went to their house, and they put us on the schedule to come to their house on homecoming because they knew they could beat us. That's what I said. So I talked to all the boys. I was like, don't let them disrespect you like that. You got it. And so Lady LaCante likes to sit up high. I like to sit down low. I like to be right there with the refs. You understand what I'm saying? On the sidelines. And it's a reaction. I can't help it. When they get up and go, I'm going in with them. You understand what I'm saying? And when they're, you know, I mean, even when Jay's not in the game, you got it? There's games that Jay, sometimes he won't get into the third quarter. And Jay's a team player. He just wants to win. So it's not like I'm just rooting with my son. I mean, I'm rooting from the beginning. You got it? And so we, like, it's the end of the first quarter, y'all, and we are like up by 2 or 4 points. And I Keith and Dennis were there, and I was like, this has never happened. And then we had a momentum run, and like Jay calls the ball to be stole. Then they threw the ball to Jay, and Jay made it, and I'm starting to go crazy. And then someone else steals the ball, and then they make it, and I'm like,
right down the sidelines. Part of the team.
And then Jay makes a couple baskets back to back. You got it? I'm on the floor. I know it's wrong. I'm on the floor. You got it? The rest had no problem. They told me, oh, no, man, we like you. They said, because you ain't disrespecting the other kids. You're not disrespecting us. You got this. Oh, you just have it. Because when I got on the floor, I said, oh, I'm sorry, that's my boy. He's, oh, no, you fine. You got it? Because the whole thing is the refs don't mind if you're just rooting for your team. When you start disrespecting the other team, and you understand what I'm saying, and disrespecting the rep, that's when they have a problem. So yesterday, you know, our team is playing. So, you know, we have to play this team that we just played. They beat us the first time at home. We went into their house and beat us. They are mad. So when the team comes out, ladies like, you better go talk to them. I got right up, and I went over there to talk to them. The one big guy, I went and I punched him right in the chest. I said, hey, man, you got the lane every time. You hesitate sometime. If you will take the lane, they are going to foul you. I said, every time. Got it? And then I went to the point guard, and I looked. I said, Dom, you know how to handle the ball good, but you pass too much. Now, I know that you should pass, but they give you that lane to the right every time. Take the lane. You got it? And so do you know that we beat them, and all they did was take the lane every time? Those guys were in foul trouble by the second quarter. So every time they would go to the foul line, I was like, I told you. I said, just keep driving. Boy, and they were so, and the lady says, somebody on the other team looked over and went. So
she
that
did.
Is why I was laughing, because I was not taunting anybody. I don't believe in that. Like I don't believe, like the other players, you got it. Those are somebody's children. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't believe in that. Like, I shake the other kids' hands. You know, I'm not on the coaching staff, but I like to act like I'm on the coaching staff. You understand?
So the ref yesterday said, you need an application.
Yeah.
Because you keep trying to tell us what to do. Go ahead and apply to be a ref.
But I shake all the refs' hands. Like, I am that guy,
right.
You know, that's going to just
you
go
want
crazy.
Him on your side,
right.
For sure, because.
So the school that we came from, a lot of the parents, and we're still friends with them,
yeah.
They came to us hugging and said, boy, we sure miss you being on our side. But watch this. I was having fun,
right.
Wasn't doing anything wrong, but
right.
Watch how, if you're not careful, you get mad at other people for no reason. Does that make sense? Like,
right.
I have every right to cheer as long as I'm not doing anything derogatory.
Right.
You got it. And so that's why I was laughing when you said that, because people need to understand these five nouns that Paul talked about: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's start with compassion.
Okay, compassion. Compassion basically means to be touched by the needs of people so that we respond with appropriate action to help them.
Right.
And Jesus was one of, he was moved by compassion.
Right.
We have several scriptures where it shows us even the Good Samaritan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because the wounded traveler was on the side of the road. But again, he didn't just overlook him. He stopped and made sure to help him out in his time of need.
Right.
And then we have the father of the prodigal son. His son came, wanted all his money, and he gave it to him. What did he do? He went and wasted all his money. Yeah, righteous living. But then when he saw his son come back after, you know, doing.
And the son felt bad.
Yeah,
he said, I don't even need to be a son. I'll just be a servant.
Yes.
His daddy's like, boy, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
You know, he was just happy to receive his son back. He showed compassion.
Right. And then
Jesus saw the multitude. The Bible says he fell with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. And so all through scripture, we see this. I think Matthew, the 14th chapter and the 14th verse is another occasion. Jesus and his disciples, they withdrew to a lonely place and they needed rest. And when they arrived by boat, they discovered that the crowd had arrived by land. So people followed Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus saw them, and he had compassion on them. The Bible says he began to heal their sick.
Right.
The disciples saw them, and the disciples wanted to send them away. Let's read 14 and 15.
Okay, 14 says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Verse 15 says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food.
So Jesus didn't want to do that.
Right.
See, if you lack compassion, that means you're too focused on yourself and not enough on the needs of others.
Right. The disciples wanted rest. They wanted to go somewhere
else. Yeah, right, exactly. Right. And you know, and Jesus, you know, he's always about ministry. He's always about making a difference. And so the disciples saw the same multitude and didn't feel the compassion because they were focused on their own need to get away and rest. And so really in life, it's all dependent on your focus.
Right.
I mean, that's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Because we decided to put people at the top of our list
right.
and to focus on people and to make sure the needs of others are met, that's why we live a good life.
Absolutely.
You know, go ahead.
Because at the end of the day, again, it's not all about what you want to do and what you have to make happen for you. God put you here for that you can be a help to somebody else. And we got to make sure that we're not just so concerned about our household and nobody else's household. That, again, if we're able to help somebody else, let's make sure we take the extra step to help that person out, because we don't realize just us smiling or hugging or $5 is really going to turn somebody else's life around if we just take the focus off of us and put it on somebody else.
Prime example. Jesus takes the focus off of him in his need for rest, right?
Right.
To make sure that he has compassion on those people. And when he had compassion, what happened? A miracle takes place.
Yeah, that's good.
Because, you know, he didn't feed 5,000. He fed more than 5,000.
Right.
The Bible clearly says 5,000 plus women and children.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if every brother was married, that's 10,000.
Right.
Right? And if they had if they had one kid, that's 15,000.
Right.
If they had two kids, that's 20. And back in them days, they had like 10 kids. You understand what I'm saying? So we really don't know how many people it was.
Right.
All right? And so we have to learn how to treat other people with compassion. The Bible says that if someone is overtaken in a fault, those that are spiritual, go and restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, so the whole thing is, you know, when people come to me and, you know, like, Pastor, I messed up, I made a bad mistake, I did this, I did that. Sometimes they're shocked when I'm not like, well, why did you do that? No. They already know that they messed up.
Right.
Right now, they need someone to show the love of Jesus
right.
and the grace and the mercy
right.
of God, and show them you can get back to, you know, to where you were. It's going to be okay.
Right.
You're going to be all right.
Right.
And it's bad when people are shocked that the church is merciful.
Mm. Oh, that's good. That is good.
It's bad when people are shocked, you got it, that the church is willing to show grace.
That's good.
And so I think that we have to make sure, you know, I live such a good life. You got it. And I'm so thankful for my life that I just want to spend it helping other people live a good life.
Right.
And I want everybody to be happy.
Right. Yeah.
You got it. You know, we have the whole, if you're married, how long? We had two people with 24 years of marriage. Well, I didn't just really want to give the $50 to one person. You understand what
right.
I'm saying? I really wanted to give it to both. Now, the other person would not have been upset at all.
Right.
Would not have been upset at all. But it's just because God has been so good to us. That as much as we can in our lane, we try to be good to
Absolutely.
Other people. That's and I think that is the way
right.
that we have to be.
Right.
Does that make sense? And you got to do the same thing in your life. And it's not always about money. You got to understand. Treat people with respect. Slow down when you see somebody needs to talk for the 5 minutes. And I know you're rushing. You understand what I'm saying? And so just learn to make a difference in people's lives and have compassion. And thank God. Watch this. Well, God, I just think it's not even me that's going through this. I think that I'm actually in a good place. So let me slow down and help and give this person an encouraging word.
Right.
Make sense?
Right.
All right. So compassion was number two. Number one. Everybody, number two, say kindness.
All right. And to be kind means to be free from all which is harsh, rough, and bitter. A kind person is not demanding or pushy. They give others room to be imperfect without crawling all over them. And sometimes, you know, what happens is because we see the people have imperfections, which we all have, right? We all have imperfections. But sometimes because somebody else is maybe magnified in that moment, you don't need to go and make them, like you just said, make them feel worse about that imperfection. It's right. Our job to show kindness to that person, realizing if we're kind to them, they'll, again, maybe start feeling better about themselves, that, you right. know, I can overcome this situation.
Right.
I can bounce back and be victorious in this manner.
With loving kindness have I drawn you.
Right.
And so if you want to help people, you got it, and draw people, is, you know, it's going to take kindness.
Absolutely.
And do you know it doesn't cost anything to be kind?
Not at all.
Last night we were at the game tournament, and lady was in line at the concession stand, and there was an older lady behind her. She just let the lady in front of her. The lady actually kind of just came and got in the middle of the line, like right behind the lady. She really... Maybe she probably didn't even know what she was doing.
Right.
But you know how some people can be so mean. Like, you know, she looked like she was probably 80 years old.
Right.
You know, so lady just let her come up and get in front of her. And, you know, and I ain't trying to be funny. People kind of know who we are because I am the guy that makes all the noise, you know. So they're not going to say anything to the guy's wife that makes all the noise. So, you know, but lady could easily say, well, ma'am, you need to go get to the back of the line. But
right.
why?
Right.
Like my whole thing is, if we're saved and really love the Lord, right. why do we got to be mean?
Right.
I mean, why do we got to be mean? I don't get it.
Right.
You know, I always smile. Y'all know that about me, right?
Right?
And so at the game, like, we got all these rivals. I'm smiling at everybody. And you know the funny thing is, they can't help but to smile back.
Right.
No, they can't. So I'm walking past people that we just beat. And I'm like, hey, man, y'all doing good? And they don't want to smile, but they can't help but smile. And they're like... Yeah, man, we're doing good. I say, hey, man, good game. And you see how that just calms everything.
Right.
So learn to have kindness, and to the degree that we'll have kindness, and we show it to everybody, even the ones that you don't like, even the ones you're not going to invite to your birthday party. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, because, you know, that's what God teaches us to do. Let's read Luke 6 and 35. Luke 6 and 35.
It says, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without what? Expecting to get anything back.
Wow.
And then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked.
So you mean to tell me that part of the criteria, watch this, for me being a child of the Most High is treating people kind.
That's it.
That's what the writer says. You got it. And so even, you know, he says love your enemies. Do good to them, lend to them without expecting anything back from you. There's different translations, and you know it says pray for them that despitefully use you. You got it. And so when people treat you bad, it does not give you the right to treat them bad.
Right.
Because I don't know how y'all came up, but in school, the whole thing in school was if you hit me, guess what I'm gonna do?
I'm gonna
hit you back. Right. I mean that's just, you know, right. That was a thing. But got some fighters in the house. But how many know that's not the right thing to do? But how many know that our natural carnal instinct, you got it, is just like, no. That's why Paul says no good thing dwells in the flesh. Does that make sense? Yeah. So and we're not going to be perfect. And we're going to make some mistakes. And there's some times that you are going to go off. But you have to learn how to do better as you go along. Does that make sense? So you may not be where you want to be. But you're not where you used to be. You got it? You fuss them out in the most Christian way instead of cussing them out last time. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to learn to get better.
I think, too, at the end of the day, I like how the scripture is saying, even those who are not Christians.
Yes.
You know, just because they're not a believer at this moment, you could be the one to win them to Christ by being kind.
That's good.
So we cannot because, oh, you're not in my church, or you're not in church, period.
Right.
We don't just shun those people away.
Right.
We got to make sure that we, on purpose, be kind to those people, hoping that they can see Christ in us. Then they want to say, oh, that's what I need is Christ, so I can
that's
be nice.
It.
But again, we cannot just be so about Christians only. You know, Christians only, but no,
let's we love everybody.
Yeah, we love everybody who may not even know Christ at that moment because they can possibly know him through you.
Yeah, we love everybody. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
I don't care what background you are. You understand what I'm saying? Like we got to learn to love everybody, people that don't look like you.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like we got to learn to love everybody, y'all. You got it. People from other countries.
Yeah.
You understand that come to our country that don't, like, you know, we got to love everybody.
Different classes of people. Yeah, they may not have the money you have, but you still have to
everybody.
Love them. Right.
Everybody.
Everybody.
All right. I'm your pastor. I'm just trying to help you.
Right.
Because you got to understand that if you have a problem in some of these areas and you have a heart problem,
right.
You got it, and you will gravitate to people that think like you think. And that's a dangerous thing because birds of a feather do what? Flock together. You got it? And so you can't do that. That is why if you're ever around me and you disrespect someone, I'm not going to disrespect you, but I'm going to call you to the carpet. I say, oh, we don't do that.
Right.
You got it. I've been around people that, you know, they saw somebody from another country, you know, and they were getting on the plane. You got it with us. And someone's like, oh, you better be careful. You never know what they might. I'm like, why are you talking like
right.
that? Well, you know what I'm saying. No. No, we don't talk like that.
Right.
We are children of the Most High God.
Right.
You understand? We set the example for love in
right.
every area.
Right.
And so we got to get that right.
Right.
We got to get it right. We love everybody. You got it? And so we love everybody.
Right.
Okay.
So we're on three. So one was treat others with compassion. Two was treat others with kindness. And number three is treat others with humility.
So, babe, this is where you do if I had time.
If I had time, you would do what?
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but this is your show, so whatever.
Everybody say, if I had time. If we had time, we would talk about humility. The Bible shows that there are three sides to humility. A humble person is Christ sufficient, not self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Number two, a humble person has a proper evaluation of themselves. So they think highly of themselves, but they don't think more highly than they ought to. So they have a balance. They know who they are in God, but they don't feel like they're better than you.
Right.
You got it? And then number three, a humble person esteems others more highly than themselves. And so I feel good about me, but would never do anything to belittle you.
Right.
You got it? Why? He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Then we will go to number four, talk about gentleness. And gentleness, another word for gentleness, which is the fruit of the Spirit, is meekness. You got it? And, you know, what is meekness? Let me tell you what it's not. You got it? Meekness is not weakness,
right. But
it's strength under control.
Right.
All right. It is described in the Greek culture as a wild man that has a wild animal that has been tamed and completely submissive and obedient to his master. So he could go off, but what he has his strength under control.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
Meekness is when we can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit, which helps us to control our temper and not go off on somebody.
Mm.
Or watch this, to pull it back when we find ourselves going off. Which leads to our last point, which is number five, to treat others with patience. And so the Greek word patience, listen, y'all. The Greek word patience literally means long-tempered. It means being tolerant of imperfections, differences, faults in others. So it is the opposite of having a short fuse. So we got to go, right? Like, we got
to
go.
0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah. So we were playing this group, and they ended up beating us. And so they were playing last night. We stayed to watch the championship game. Great game. It wasn't even our boys playing, but we love sports. And of course, we want to wait to the end because we want to see Jay and his team get their trophy. So the lady is sitting next to us. She's like, that kid has an anger problem. So I'm just, we're laughing like, he's fine. And then the more we watched, the more we realized every time the ref would call anything on him or something wouldn't go right, he would, like, not run with the team. He would go, and he would be like. And then he'd get back up. And I'm like, what is that? She's like, I told you. He has an anger problem.
Or he'll go and face the wall.
Like, yeah, he would go, like, I mean, in the middle of a game, y'all, you need 5-on-5. Now it's 4-on-5 because she's like, he's got to go get himself together. And so he had a really short fuse.
Right.
You got it? But how many know that doesn't work in life?
Right.
It doesn't work in life. You got it? At some point in life, somebody's going to be over you in some area of life.
Right.
You got it? And so whether it's on a job, whether it's part of a team that you got to accomplish something, you know, you might not like something, but you have to learn to allow what James 1 and 4 teaches us. Let's go home, court. To have, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect. In other words, complete or perfect means that you're coming to a state of maturity, complete and lacking nothing. So I got to get this together. I've got to be compassionate to everyone that I come into contact with. I've got to be kind to everybody that I come into contact with. I've got to walk in humility. I've got to learn to be gentle and have to learn to have patience. And Paul teaches us that if we will do those four things, and then that's why he says, forbear one another. You got it? And forgive one another. And he said, at the end of the day, at the top of the list, love everybody. And so we've got to learn to do that. And if you learn to live your life like that, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to take these five things that I've talked about this week. I want you to put them in your phone, all right? And I want you to go through the week and remind yourself every day. Put a reminder in your phone. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentle, patience. And if you do that, you will see how the Holy Spirit will begin to help you. Because a lot of times we're doing good in two or three or four of those areas. A lot of times it's just one area that, okay, I need to kind of bring it in that area. And so to the degree that you will really allow the Holy Spirit to help you in those areas, watch this, you will be a better person. And not only will you be a better person, but you'll make God look good in the earth, which could cause people to be drawn into him. Does that make sense? All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers praying all over the building. Father.